you sent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to forge a new path for we unworthy humans to take. Every day, Lord, I will praise your name. Every day, Lord, I will try my best to be your man. Every day, Lord. Every day. Nothing more than to live their lives and raise their children. A minority of people in the world, in their quest for power, put their foot upon that freedom and used their positions to suppress all. Armies were used to keep people in line and to keep them from speaking out. Religious leaders used their influence to line their own pockets and traded obedience to their political masters for luxuries and power over their people. Not all, but enough to matter. The same continues today with powerful people who feel the need to subjugate others to slake their own thirst for power. We are seeing this happen in Ukraine, in Canada, and even unfortunately here in the United States. It's easy to be distracted by all that's going on. It's easy to let the worldly things and events take our attention from what is truly important. People will fall in and out of worldly freedom. It happens in any era and will continue to happen no matter what. We are called to keep our eye on the sparrow, our eyes on the sparrow, to keep the workings and countenance of God the King, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit front and center in our lives. Pray for people who are being subdued. Use prayer to decide what you can do to help them. Keep God in your heart as you consider everything. Jesus Christ did not hang on the cross to help us throw off worldly chains. He was there as a beacon, showing us where to look, and as a guide to remove spiritual chains attached to us by Satan. Try to change the world as you can, always for the better. But remember that all of this is temporary. Only God is eternal. Only He can make a truly lasting difference that matters. Holy are You, Lord our God, King of the universe, who breaks the chains of spiritual bondage.
So amazing, so deep. money here and bless your name. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die and find that I may truly.
Glorify the Lord, no matter what you are, no matter where you are or what you're doing. Always do the right thing, even if you don't want to. Be strong in your faith and stand upright because God made us in His own image. Apply the lessons of our Lord Jesus Christ to every decision you make. Do not cower in the face of adversity. Rather, welcome it and find a way to work together. Do good, like John Wesley said. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Glorify the Lord and welcome Him into your life. Please be seated. You know, that song is the bong. That song was written by Bob Kilpatrick, I think, in the early 70s.
Yes.
And if you listen to it on YouTube, there's a chorus in there somewhere that really matches what the song does, but no matter where I looked, I couldn't find the chords for it. I probably could have figured it out, but it's been a crazy week. So, if you would please read with me, brothers and sisters. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor, but with their eyes on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you are serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So the message, I'm sure, and I know it is, it's mistaken as an endorsement for slavery by critics of Christianity. I've heard it been said before, and I know that's, you know, sometimes you can't argue with people, but sometimes you can. Nothing could be further from the truth, anyway. Slavery was a reality back then, and there was not much that Paul or his church could do about it at that time. Instead, he gave practical advice designed to give slaves a better mindset. Work hard, not just for your human masters, but sacrifice the effort to God, and he will repay you for your hard work. Masters should remember that they will be answerable for any mistreatment to the ultimate master in heaven. That message still stands today. Do your work as well as you can, no matter who your supervisor is. Do your job as well as you can, because not to do so is kind of dishonest. Sacrifice everything to God. Supervisors do not treat your people badly, for you have to answer to the higher power eventually. I have no doubt about that. All right. Amen. Thank you, folks.
God is good.
All the time.
About 3 months ago, I had a woman stop in who's in charge of hiring at the rest stop on in Forked River. And she came in and told me that they can't get anybody to work. They're starting at $15 an hour, and they can't get anybody to work. We have a problem in this country, and it continues to grow. You know, listen, before I went to seminary, I was always involved in finance, corporate finance, and all the ramifications of that. But I do know one basic thing, and that is that earning something is better than zero. Right? Earning something is better than zero. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But before we do that, and before we go into the passage, let's pray that God will show us what he wants to show us this morning. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the worship, Father. Thank you for those who led us and the technical people, for those who were broadcasting. We ask, Father, now as we come into this passage, that we would glean the insights of Paul as to our responsibilities, either as workers or supervisors or owners. And so, Father, bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Excuse me. Do you realize before the fall, God gave Adam and Eve a job to do, right? What did I do? Oh, thank you, Melissa. She tells me I forgot the offering. Let's do it after the message.
Okay.
We'll do the offering after the message, okay? So we'll keep you on your toes. I forgot what I was saying now.
After the fall.
After the fall. Right. After the fall, work became toil and unpleasant. I want to suggest to you, there are some jobs that are labor intensive. There's no question about it, right? And there are some jobs that are physically and emotionally intensive. But I want to suggest to you the worst part of the job stems from relations within the workplace. Isn't that true? Right? I mean, you can have a good boss and have a very hard job and enjoy the job, or you can have an unreasonable boss and have a job and hate going in every day. You may be the boss or the owner. We have to realize God, work is not a four-letter word, a dirty word, right? We were kidding about this last week. Remember Dobie Gillis, Maynard G. Krebs, right? Anytime he heard the word work, you know, he would react to it. He was the beatnik, right, of the group. It's not a dirty word. God ordained work that is honorable and satisfying. But after the fall, work became hard. We know that. But again, I want to submit to you that it is work demands energy. We know that. Work, it can be demanding sometimes. But the greater part of the problems at work all stem from relations. And it's not good. It's not good. What do I mean by that? I was managing an office years ago. I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 women in the office. And this was, again, bookkeeping and accounts receivable and payable for a company. And going to the restroom was the most dangerous place to go. Because as soon as one lady went out, they all talked about her. This is true. And then she comes back and another lady goes out and they all talk about her. And I'm sitting there saying, I'm the boss, right? What are they saying about me when I go, you know? But you have this work, every workplace has its own culture, doesn't it? And if we're not careful, we could easily get sucked into the culture. In this passage this morning, God tells us through Paul and the Holy Spirit what our attitudes ought to be in the workplace. And I titled the message, God in the Workplace. And some of you may say, well, Pastor, we can't talk about it. You know, we're not allowed to. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that your actions are louder than words and how you conduct yourself in the workplace. I just find it hard to believe, and maybe this is my age showing up, that minimum wage for most employers is $15 an hour for non-skilled entry-level jobs. And yet there's still many companies who want to hire people and not many apply. It escapes me. It escapes me. One of the things that happened, I don't know if you're aware of it, during COVID was when the government mandated that churches shut down, was the government made available to pastors salary continuance loans. And the condition of that was you calculate your salary for 3 months, and as long as you don't fire any staff during those 3 months, the loan would be forgiven, okay? And, I got calls from other pastors in the area, you know, Lou, aren't you going to take advantage of it? Aren't you going to? And the answer was no. No. Well, it's free money. Well, I got news for you. Nothing's ever free, you know, number one. Number two, I would rather say to the government, look what God has done, rather than say, we need you. God sustained us. He sustained us in miraculous ways, but I kept working through it. I kept working through it, right? And sometimes We've turned a Protestant work ethic and the American dream into something that it was never meant to be, some type of entitlement that we deserve. We deserve, right? God ordained work, honest work, and in some senses, work will be difficult and hard, But God says work is a good thing for us. And I realize some of you are retired, all right? And that's good. Enjoy your retirement. But the Bible never knows of retirement. It just doesn't. Doesn't mean you should continue at the job you were doing. What it means now is maybe now you have some more time to dedicate to the work of the Lord. One of the biggest outreaches in our country right now is for seniors to go on short-term missions trips to, you know, to spread the gospel. And that's a good thing. But somehow retirement means we just give up, you know. You know, we go to Florida and we lay on the beach all day, do nothing else, and all. Well, hey, I got news for you. You may like that for a couple of weeks, but you know, if you're following God, He's going to prod you to say, "Come on, there's a lot of work here to be done." I want to be clear as we start this passage, and Chip did a real good job of this, that Paul isn't given an endorsement to slavery, all right? In fact, in First Corinthians, Paul says that slaves should pursue their freedom, all right? But what he was saying here, hey, look, we got a bad system in place, but even within that system, you can honor God. You can honor God. I want to suggest to you, if you are involved in honest work, but you're in a bad environment, you can still honor God. And that's what I want to look at this morning. There are, I'm going to be very honest, most workplaces are hostile to Christ. All right? And I'm not asking you to stand on your chair and, you know, start preaching or anything like that. What I'm asking, and what Paul's asking here is, people will understand who you follow by the way you work. It's as simple as that. All right? So, let's get into this, and I'll bring you through it. All right? It's really very simple. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in some things, in everything. In everything. Now, that doesn't mean if they ask you to do something illegal, you do it, all right? Or if they ask you to do something immoral, you do it. That's not what Paul's saying here. Paul is saying if it's part of the job and it's not immoral or illegal, then do it. Do it. Nike coined this phrase, right? Just do it. Just do it. I had an employee once. I would lay out an agenda for the day of things that needed to be done. And the next morning, I would follow up with the employee, say, how'd you do on that list? Oh, I'll get to it today. I did these other things. It would drive me nuts. No, I had a reason for you to go through these things. You didn't even come talk to me about it. You just went off and did your own thing. And it drives me crazy. You know, listen, only we can answer for what we do on the jobs, right? Obey your earthly masters in everything. Everything. You know what that doesn't mean? That doesn't mean that you just do enough to get by. That's what it doesn't mean. You need to obey them with the right motive and the right heart attitude. Look, he says, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence to the Lord. When the boss is away, the mice play. It shouldn't be that way. You got to do your job whether your boss is there or not. Your supervisor, right? And you want your guys to do what they're supposed to do, right? Whether you're there or not, right? And if they try to get by with just doing the bare minimum, you're going to know it somehow, right? Absolutely. You got to. They have to give an account. They have to give an account. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Sure. And I'm accountable to my boss.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, this is something that we really have to. Chip says he's accountable to Bonnie. I don't know what that means. Yeah, you're going to be worried. I hear people many times say that, you know, I'm not paid enough for what I do. That may well be the case, but you agreed to it. Yeah, with the workers in the vineyard. Yeah, they agreed to it, right? You agree to it, work for it. You know, that's what you agreed to. Listen, I met people, you know, they'll take a job and they feel they're not getting paid enough to do it, and they'll quit. And I'll say to them what I said to you before, isn't getting something better than nothing, number one? Number two, if you don't want to get another job, the best thing to do is quit your present job. Because when you look for a job, you're coming from a stronger position when you're working already. So if you don't like your job, look for another one, but continue to work and work as you work like you're glorifying the Lord. Don't just try to get by, right? We work with excellence as for the Lord. Not for human masters. Isn't that what it says here? But with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Our ultimate reward will come from the Lord himself for the work we do. We are servants to the Lord, and we have to remember that. Listen. Slavery in Paul's day was kind of a mixed bag. There were some good slave owners, some bad slave owners. And I'm not condoning slavery. Some of the slaves were well educated. And the masters would put them in charge of educating their children. So some slaves were entrusted with a lot, right? And the reason why they were entrusted with a lot is because they proved they were reliable in doing the task the masters gave them. Some slaves were slaves because they can't pay off a debt, and they went into slavery. Some slaves were slaves at the time because they were sold by their family to get money. This still happens in Asia and the Middle East, all right? So you have the full gamut of this, but whatever the circumstances, Paul is saying, obey your earthly masters, work with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. So the question I want to ask, for those of you who still might be working, and we'll get to the bosses and the supervisors in a bit, is you go into work and your boss isn't there, what are you going to do? You work. Whether he's there or she is there or not, you work. There's no reflection on Tommy. But I've seen road crews where there's like 10 people on the job, one's working, and the rest are standing around. You're smiling, Frank. The rest are standing around, and I'm saying, you got this poor guy digging his brains out in a ditch, and the rest of them are standing around talking, almost like, yeah, that's dirt, okay. Yeah, all right, that's a pipe, okay. And how many supervisors do you need, you know? That's a new guy. Is that the way it works? Is that the new guy? And you have to figure, you know, if it's a private company, then it's the boss's problem, right? If it's a private company, then the boss has to deal with it because they're slacking off, and they're getting paid for slacking off. If it's a public thing, well, guess who's paying? We are, right? And you know, we really have to be careful in all of this. Now, listen, there are companies that do illegal things and bad things. I worked for one company years ago. This was right after seminary, as a matter of fact. We were required to read the Wall Street Journal every day. What we had to do was we had to do financial analysis on big companies like Ford and Boeing and Unisys and all sorts of things like that. So I'm reading one morning, and I see that my company had to pay $1.5 million to the government, and the sister company or the parent company had to pay another $1.5 million to the government because of contract fraud. Okay? Now, you know, I worked in finance. I saw the money. I saw how liquid we were and what this was going to do, you know, to our liquidity and all this. So I went to the treasurer, who I report to, and I said, what is this? You know what? We're defrauding the government? He said, we're $1 million for us, $1 million for the parent company. And he smiled at me and he says, we made a whole lot more than that. I'm saying, whoa. So sometimes work environments can be tough, but we still need to do the work as long as it is honest and moral and ethical. Let's get to the masters. Here we go. I'm sorry, before we get there. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs. For there is what? All right, I want you to understand this before we get into the masters. In the church of Paul's time, you have slaves that were getting saved. You had masters that were getting saved. And they came to the same church. Now, the slaves might think for a moment, gee, my boss is a Christian now. Now he can slack off on me. He can ease off on me, right? Or the master may say, okay, you're a Christian, you know, you're supposed to work hard. I'm going to press you even harder. And this was a problem. What's worse was somebody who was a slave could have been the pastor of the church where the master is. Relationships, right? So anyone who does wrong will be repaid for the wrongs. There is no favoritism. When God looks at the situation, he is not going to care if you're free or slave or a master or a supervisor or a boss. You better obey what he says. And then he comes to the masters. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. That's pretty clear, isn't it? What is right and fair? What do you do if you have a disagreement with your boss about what is right and fair? Well, you still work as if you're working for the Lord, right? Yeah, I mean, and it depends on the situation. Yeah, you know, you do what's right in the sight of the Lord no matter what, right? And in saying that, you know, you could always try to talk with your boss, right? Say, hey, can we talk about something here, that there's an issue? And you might be surprised at their reaction. Or they may tell you, stop your belly aching, go back to work. Okay? Either way, Chip? Yeah. Yeah, I know. I would really encourage more face-to-face than the grievance, but, you know. Yeah. You start praying about it. Very good. Very good. That's where it should start. Very good. You having a problem? Pray about it. Ask the Lord for wisdom, right? Because what's James say? And you lack wisdom because you don't ask. Right? Get down on your knees and pray. I would even go as far as to say, before you start work in the morning, you should get down on your knees and pray. Lord, help me be the worker you want me to be. You should be, if you're a Christ follower, you should be the best worker your company has. Well, that's a tall order. Yeah, it is. But for following Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be the best worker your company has. And you may get heat for it. You may get heat for it, all right? Years ago, you know, when I first came out of college, I worked for a company. We used to have meetings up in Boston. Boston and Providence, Rhode Island. And they used to alternate sites. So we go away for a week to meetings that were honestly kind of senseless. But, you know, we have an expense account. They would allow us so much for dinner and lunch and so on and so forth. So a bunch of the other managers were there, and they would go to, like, McDonald's or Burger King for lunch or dinner. And right across from the hotel was a steakhouse. They go in and ask for a receipt for a dinner, and that's what they would claim, all right? My friend Ed Tafalowski and I, Ed Tafalowski led me to the Lord years ago, we refused to do that. And this is true. One night we got cornered by about six or seven managers and said, look, you guys are making us look bad, you know? Just play the game, they said. Just play the game. And we said no. Well, gee, you know, who they called us names. I won't tell what names they called us. But we refused to acquiesce because it was dishonest. It was dishonest. You know, and I heard, well, the company has so much money, they don't know what to do with it. Well, no, they don't, and they're probably wasting it on you. And we have to put all of this in perspective. No, I work for a master in heaven. And if you're a boss, you have to keep that in mind also. Well, Pastor, what about the bosses who aren't believers? Doesn't change the fact. They also work for a master in heaven, right? And they're going to give account. They will give an account. This is the basis, by the way, for the Protestant work ethic. This is, I don't know if you ever heard that term, but this is the theological basis for the Protestant work ethic. You agree to a job and a certain amount of pay. Well, you go do that job with excellence as if you're working for the Lord. If you don't like it, you don't complain, you still work with excellence, look for another job, you know? But what you do on the job reflects on your beliefs. Reflects on your beliefs. I'm not exactly sure if COVID has become a convenient excuse for people to say, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to work. I'm bothered by that. And the reason why I'm bothered by that is because if you're not working, first of all, somebody's got to pay for you, right? Second of all, what are you doing in your time? You know, people who don't work usually get into trouble. They usually get into trouble. And so we really need to be careful in this whole thing. If I was at a high school and somebody offered me $15 an hour, I'd jump at it. I really would. I'd jump at it, right? When I started in the workforce, it was 75 cents an hour. And I thought that was okay. $15 an hour for an entry-level job, I'd do it, you know? After I graduated seminary, the company I worked for, they relocated to the Bronx. They offered me a position in the Bronx, but I didn't feel like commuting from here to the Bronx. And so I put in applications. One of the applications I put into was ShopRite up here. And I said, look, I'll do anything. I'll stock shelves. I'll do anything you want. And I knew the manager, the store manager back then. And he said to me, Lou, I can't hire you. And I said, why not? He says, you have a master's degree. They'll never let me hire you. I said, but I'm telling you, I'll take whatever wage you give, and I'll do a good job. And he says, they won't let me do it. What a shame. I had zero coming in, right? And I was willing to work for it. We have to get our minds out of the entitlement stage and come back to the Protestant work ethic. And the entitlement thinking is not just young people. It is a cultural cancer. We have to stop it. Listen, I realize there are some people who are disabled and can't work. That's a different story, right? I understand that. And we should be able to help take care of them. No problem with that. But for those who are able-bodied and can work and choose not to work, and if you're a believer, you know what Paul says to the believers in Thessalonica? He says, if you can work and you choose not to and you don't provide for your family, he says, you're worse than an unbeliever. Whoa. Whoa. So, next time you see a rerun of Dobie Gillis and you see Maynard G. Krebs, you'll understand where he's coming from. Because he was part of the utopian movement that, you know, you didn't have to work, that you can live off the land and so on and so forth. And, you know, it just doesn't work. We have a movement in this country, I'm afraid, where even coming out of high school and coming out of college, we expect to get paid salary levels that are reserved for people who have been in the workforce for a while. One of the things, Joey's going to kill me. Joey was always a hard worker. He worked two jobs when he was in high school and college. And I remember him looking at the first paycheck he got, and he said, where did all the money go? It went to your uncle. Uncle Sam. It's a hard lesson to learn. And then to start to, we got to teach our young people to budget. We got to teach our young people not to get in debt. We have to teach our young people to balance a checkbook. They don't even know how to balance a checkbook. We have to teach our people to be physically responsible for what they do. That's why, if you ever have a chance, we've done them here, to go to the Dave Ramsey courses. They're invaluable. Credit cards, guess what? Somebody's got to pay them. And usually we get into debt way over our heads. That's got to stop. Well, after all, we're a debtor nation. Yes, we are. And we're not proud of it. Proverbs says, don't be a slave to debt. And that's exactly what happens when we become in debt. We become slaves. I hope this helps. And by the way, these principles apply to volunteer work also. Right? You volunteer to do something, whether it's church or the community. And if you're a Christ follower, you better do it with excellence. Because volunteering, you don't get paid anything. You know, I'll joke with some of our volunteers and say, hey, you did a real good job. We're going to double your salary. You know, 2 times 0 is 0. So, Tuesday night. But you understand these principles apply whether you get paid or not. When you volunteer, you're volunteering your time and your effort. And that doesn't mean you do a haphazard job. You're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for the Lord. I can't emphasize this enough. When I was a deacon in the first church I attended, I always had a sermon prepared for if the pastor got sick or for some reason couldn't make it. And somebody in the congregation said to me, well, why do you do that? We don't pay you to be the pastor. I said, that's not the issue. The issue is that I do it because it's part of the responsibility as a deacon to be prepared to assist the pastor should he need it. And that's why I did it. Not for any money, but for the love of God. Let's change our thinking. Let's let the Holy Spirit help change our thinking in these matters. For the last song, I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, please. For the last song, I'm sorry? Oh, thank you. I have something against the offering today. Okay, men. Well, praise team, come up. Chip, why don't you play while the offering's being taken? Thanks for reminding me. We got diligent trustees. As the praise team comes up, let me encourage you to take commitment seriously. Jesus said one of the simplest and most powerful statements, I think, when it comes to relationships. He says, let your no be no and your yes be yes. If you don't want to do something, say no. But if you say yes, be prepared to work for excellence. Amen? Would you stand, please?
Never worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Amen.
I believe it was St. Thomas Aquinas said that share the gospel with people, and when necessary, do it in words. Right? Our lives will reflect Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we ask in the power of your Holy Spirit, whatever work we do, that we do it as unto you, with a good attitude, Father, and an attitude of doing it with excellence. Father, for those who are in the workplace, I pray your blessing on them. May they pray for wisdom into how to handle relational situations. And Father, may you put a hedge of protection around them as they choose to do the right thing. And Father, I pray that you dismiss us in the power of your Holy Spirit, knowing that, Father, any work you call us to is honorable, and any work you call us to will glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all. God bless you.
You too.